Proverbs 14:21. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner. And then the end of the verse is the opposite of that. But whoever blessed is he who is generous to the poor. In other words, if you're not generous to the poor, you're guilty of despising your neighbor. You might not think you are. You might think despising your neighbor is something that's active, but actually it can be passive. Despising your neighbor doesn't have to be active. You don't have to actively feel hostility for someone to despise someone. You can just be passive and not do anything to help someone who needs help. And in God's eyes, that's the same thing as despising your neighbor. We're to be generous to the poor. Look further in chapter 14 down to verse 31. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, God. But he who is generous to the needy honors him, that is, his maker, the poor man's maker. You're honoring God when you're generous to those who are poor. Turn to chapter 19. Look at verse 17. This is an important theme. I won't even begin to go through all of the verses we could have listed this morning, but look at this verse, Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will repay him for his deed. Do you think the Lord pays back if you lend to him? Sure he does. That's the point here. That's the idea. God is the cosigner, so to speak, on anything you give to the poor. If the poor person can and doesn't pay you back, don't worry about it. The poor man has a good cosigner. That's what this verse is saying. God will repay you. You are lending to the Lord when you give to the poor. Quickly, chapter 22, verse 2. Chapter 22, verse 2. Here's where we see how in God's sight, the difference is not nearly as big as we tend to think between the rich and the poor. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And finally, chapter 29, verse 13. Proverbs 29:13. The poor man and the oppressor meet together. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. The only reason either of them, the poor man or his oppressor, have light in their eyes, that is life, is because the Lord gives it to them. Listen to what Kevin DeYoung says along these lines. God gives you money because he is generous. But he is generous with you so that you can be generous with others. And if you are generous with your money, God will more likely be generous with you. That's true. That's what Proverbs says. Some of you who've been around for a while have heard me tell this story. My wife and I, Melody, on our very first date, and this was sort of, I guess, prophetic. On our very first date, we went to a missions conference, and we went to a missions conference at Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and we heard an African-American pastor from Los Angeles, E.V. Hill, preach that night on missions. And he had a line that he said several times. It was almost like a chorus. If you have heard a good African-American preacher preach, you know that their sermons are a lot like songs. And sometimes, like most songs have choruses. Well, this was his chorus, the chorus for this sermon song that he preached that night. And I'll never forget it. It's been a little while. I'm not going to tell you how long it's been, but it's been a while. But this is what he said. Speaking of God, if he can get it through you, he'll give it to you. That's sort of what this text is saying, isn't it? Isn't that what Proverbs is teaching? Quite often God gives it to us, not because he wants us to keep it. He gives it to us because he wants through us to bless others. He wants us to give generously to the poor. He wants us to give generously to those in need. And quite often God blesses us so that we can bless others. You see, to be motivated by the hope of financial gain is not inherently wrong. But if it's our primary hope, it's wicked. And if we don't genuinely desire to avoid the temptation that would come with not only being poor, but with being rich, and don't genuinely pray that God would keep us from sin in that area by keeping us from being tempted in that way, and if we desire wealth so much that we aren't generous to the poor, then we've taken it too far, right? Our motivation for financial gain, our hope of financial gain is too great. That's what the book of Proverbs is saying. And then there's one more qualifier that we're going to see here this morning. It is all right to be motivated to a degree by the hope of financial gain, however, God hates those who gain wealth through injustice. God hates those who gain wealth through injustice. Now, there are lots of references, and I'm going to go really quickly here. And if you can keep up, do that. If not, just write these verses down. Look at chapter 1, verse 19. Proverbs 1:19. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor. Chapter 15, verse 27. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. In other words, bribery is an example of gaining in an unjust way, an unjust gain. Chapter 28, verse 8. 28:8 says this, whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor. In other words, a person who uses interest and profit in a way that's unjust, who charges too much in those ways. Chapter 21, verse 6. Chapter 21, verse 6 says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. That's another way to get gain through unjust means, through a lying tongue. Chapter 22, verse 16 says, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Then down in verses 22 and 23 in the same chapter, do not rob the poor because he is poor or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. And you don't have to hold a gun on a person to rob them. You understand that, right? That's not what this text is saying. When you don't give what you could give and should give to someone in need or to someone who works for you, when you take advantage of people that you're paying for your profit and not giving them enough, sufficient, you're robbing them in God's eyes. That's what this text is saying. God hates those who gain wealth through injustice or unrighteousness. And then finally, and here's where I want us to end. This is not a qualifier. I'm not qualifying now the original statement, but I'm applying it. It is all right to be motivated to a degree by the hope of financial gain. So honor the Lord with your wealth, which includes making your giving to God your first priority. I want you to look at some verses that we looked at last week briefly because it was a part of the context for the verses we focused on. Look at chapter 3, and we're going to finish here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. If you were here last week, you'll remember we touched on this. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. That verse, among all the others we've looked at, makes it pretty clear that it is okay to be motivated by the hope of financial gain to a degree, as we've talked about. But notice what's being said here. Remember last week we said all of these verses in the first 12 verses of chapter 3 are couplets. The first part of each of these couplets is instruction. The last part is incentive. We talked about that last week. Here's the instruction. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Here's the incentive. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now we said last week that this is normally true now. That is, it's normally true in this life that if we honor the Lord with our wealth, then God will bless us. And there will be financial gain. That's what's being implied here. That's what's being said here. Normally now, but universally ultimately. Remember, we talked last week about how these are not promises in the sense that they always come true here and now in this life. But principally, this is true. This is what normally happens. So what does it mean to honor the Lord with your wealth? Well, it means more than just giving to church. It means more than that. But it doesn't mean less than that. That's what the end of the verse is saying. After saying we're to honor the Lord with our wealth, it says, and with the first fruits of your produce. Now, in Old Testament days, you gave the first of what you would harvest to God. The first fruits. You would give to God first, and the first was always the best. And so the principle here is this. Most of us aren't farmers. Most of us aren't going to bring wheat and corn to church next week to give. Right? If you do, I don't know what we'll do. But the principle is the same. We are to give to God what is first, and we're to give to God what is best. That's a part of how we honor the Lord. But honoring the Lord's bigger than that. It has to do with how we spend all of our money, not just giving God a part of it and then doing what we want to with the rest, right? We're to honor Him in the way we budget our money, in the way we spend our money, in the way we use our money. We're to seek to honor Him in every way in our lives. Paul said in the New Testament, whether you eat or drink, and you have to buy that stuff, right? Whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. That's what it means to honor the Lord with your wealth. But it does begin with giving to God's work. Giving to God's work in the place where God has put you. In the church that you are a part of. Some of you know where this is going, right? We're not going to stay there long. Some of you have heard the word tithe. It means a tenth. People often ask the question, are we supposed to tithe? Or was that just Old Testament? Are Christians supposed to tithe? Well, Jesus said this, referring to tithing, you ought to do. But that wasn't a context. And so we need to hear that, but we need to hear the context. The Pharisees is who he was talking to, and they were very meticulous about their tithe, their tenth of spice and cumin and seed and so forth. They gave a tenth meticulously. And Jesus said, this you ought to do, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, righteousness and justice, some of the things we've been talking about, right? This morning. And love. Faithfulness. So yes, we're to do this. But here's what I want you to understand. Tithing is entry-level discipleship. It's not all. We do that. It's not less. We do that. We honor the Lord by giving Him the first and the best. What that means today, since we don't farm and bring our crops to a temple, what that means today is that that line is first in our budget. And it means we're committed to that. And we give that to God. Because when we don't do that, what we're really saying without saying it is this. God, if I have some left over after I've done what I want to do and spent what I want, then I'll give you some. And that's not the way we're supposed to live as followers of Jesus Christ. Kevin DeYoung said it this way. Money is a blessing from God, but you'll be more blessed if you give it away. To the poor, to the Lord, and His work in the world. Now, let me finish And I'm really going to go super fast here, okay? So don't even try to follow. But I want to finish by saying a few other things that Proverbs says about money. Money is inferior to wisdom. Chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it says this: "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." Money is inferior to wisdom. Money is inferior to righteousness. Proverbs 11:4 says, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." Money is inferior to righteousness. Money is inferior to the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15:16, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." Money is inferior to the fear of the Lord. Money is inferior to humility. Proverbs 16:19, "It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." And finally, money is inferior to good relationships. Proverbs 15:17, "Better is a dinner of herbs with love than is a fattened ox and hatred with it." Hatred is not good steak sauce. That's what that verse is saying. You can have a great piece of meat, but if you're eating with people and there's tension and there's hatred, it's not going to taste that good. But just a little bit of salad, just a small salad, is better than steak where there's hate if there's love. And then Proverbs 17:1, "Better a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." Saying the same thing. Money is inferior. The last thing I want you to think about this morning is what Paul said to the Corinthians. He, God, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom. God made Jesus Christ our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, it is written, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Money can't save your soul. Money can't make you righteous. Money can't, and usually works in the opposite direction, make you more holy. It can't do it. It can't redeem you. We were redeemed not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Money can't get you the most important things. That's why Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Here's the problem with money and with desiring it too much. To quote Kevin DeYoung one last time, money invites you to boast in something or someone other than the Lord. Money invites us, it tempts us to boast in something or someone other than the Lord. Let me invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads for just a moment.